And I hope you can continue those conversations after the service over a cup of coffee that we have in the foyer. Before I pray for us, just to repeat what I said earlier, we're going to have a few weeks inhabiting John 15 through to 17, these last words of Jesus to his disciples in public teaching, thinking about what it means to belong to Jesus, to be his people, which complements well the teaching in 1 Thessalonians about what it is to be a great church as God's people. So let me pray for us as we look at God's word together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to Jesus, that you call us friends, and that we can live and abide and remain in him. Father, we pray that we will live this way by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Useful or useless, fruitful or fruitless, joyful or joyless. How will things turn out for you? What will the final destination, the final verdict on your life be? Because inside Jesus' teaching about I am the vine, you are the branches, well, inside of that innocent-sounding viticultural analogy, I don't say that very often, inside that actually lies a stark contrast about where our life will end up and how it will be. On the one hand, to the person who lives out this union with Jesus, he in us and we in him, to them, Jesus promises a life that is ultimately useful, fruitful, and joyful. On the other hand, if we will be apart from Jesus, we get the picture of a life that is kind of all dried up and not really good for anything, apart perhaps for the bonfire, as verse 6 put it, the dry twigs being cast on a bonfire. Now, the good news is that Jesus offers this useful, fruitful, and joyful life to any and all who would have it. It is his gift to us. This union with Jesus is a gift to anyone who would have it. That's why Jesus talks about remaining or abiding in him, as the older translations put it. We don't attach ourselves to Jesus or somehow work our way into a connection with him. This is a picture of sheer grace. Jesus is the one who comes to us, who has actually chosen us, we find out later in the passage, comes to us and does everything needed to make us part of this vine. Our job is to stay there, connected to him, to remain, to abide in him. And in a few moments, we'll see what this looks like. Before that, let's just appreciate the context of this teaching by Jesus. John 15 follows on from John 13 and 14. And it comes before chapters 16, 17, and 18. I surprised you there, I can tell. Okay, no surprise there. And we'll be looking at some more of these chapters over the next couple of weeks. But the important thing of them being in this context is that these are the last words of Jesus to his disciples, at least in terms of organized formal teaching. And last words are generally seen as being significant, of having real weight. It's my last chance to tell you what I want you to know. So here it is. Because they're en route, of course, from the Last Supper in the upper room that we read about in John 13 and 14. And the last word of John chapter 14 is, come now, let us leave. So Jesus and his disciples are somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. It could be that Jesus is standing with his hand on the doorknob. Unlikely. And many people to think that Jesus may have been standing literally in a vineyard as he teaches here, somewhere in the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem, between the upper room and Gethsemane, as he utters the words, "I am the true vine, you are the branches." Here in John 15, what Jesus tells us about the vine invites us to live life beyond the superficial. This image of Jesus' teaching forces us to go deeper, if I can put it that way. It shows us we cannot live in a superficial way. You know, just in terms of the things that we see or find on the surface of things, the surface of life, the surface of people. Because life lived at a surface level will not do. God intends so much more for us. And the first thing this image of the vine teaches us is that God's good purposes for us are always slower, deeper, more painful, and ultimately more fruitful than we expect. That's so important, so I'll say it again. God's good purposes for us are always slower, deeper, and more painful, and ultimately more fruitful than we expect. This is the best news that we never want to hear, that God's purposes are indeed slower, deeper, more painful, and ultimately more fruitful than we would want. Just think, how do you picture God? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up or anything. Just as you think about God, what images come to your mind? Just think for a moment. Because the picture of God here in John 15 is of God as farmer, gardener, vine dresser. And he walks towards the vine carrying a knife. It is a sharp knife, which certainly gets my attention. He holds the knife in a way that makes you feel confident that he knows what he's doing, but that doesn't make things feel any better as he begins to cut and cut and cut some more. To cut the church's life, our life, with the painful pruning that he promises. And he's doing the pruning not because you're doing something wrong, but precisely because you're doing something right. Did you notice it is the branch that is already clean and is already bearing fruit that gets pruned to make it even more fruitful? We see that in verse 2. And looked at superficially, it's madness. God is painfully destroying bits that I'd really rather not have cut off at all, thank you. Come to think of it, I can't really think of anything I'd like to have cut off, but I'm really rather attached to everything. Now, of course, my friends know that I know nothing about gardening and such things, as my garden demonstrates. Was it just last week that Dillis and others did some wonderful pruning? And the real gardeners knew what they were doing, and this perfectly nice-looking tree suddenly is cut back to these few remaining branches. That's how real pruning works. Now, I may know nothing about gardening, but I know a little bit more about vines than you think. A Brit talking about vines in France. However, my wife grew up in a small town in southern Ontario called, would you believe, Vineland. And it is the heart of Canada's winemaking region. So when I visit there, her mother's home, we'd be surrounded, literally surrounded the house by vineyards. And superficially at some times of the year, some vines would look great. They'd have lots of great big green leaves all over them. Whereas the others, they looked rather pathetic. There was a central twig, and then two little weedy branches went along, wound around the wires. You come back a few months later, of course, in the season, when the sun and the rain and the care of the grower has done its work, they're literally bearing fruit. Those previously big, bushy, unpruned plants are just now all dried up. But those little branches that have been pruned and trained, they sag under the weight of those rich clusters of grapes. So the alarming image of God pruning his people's lives reminds us that we cannot live superficially. Perhaps things don't work out in this life as you would wish. Disappointment comes. Perhaps we are aware of God's discipline in our lives as we study his word. Perhaps we simply struggle with pressures of family, work, friends. We face sickness, bereavement, or just the advancing years take their toll and the dreaded list of things that we used to do grows longer. Only if we are prepared to look below the surface, we will find God at work in the depths of our life. You may have heard this quotation I'm going to give in just a moment. Apologies that the quote has become something of a cliche, but it is true. And it's about how we make sense of our life as we live it, and also about the extravagant promises that Jesus makes about prayer in verse 7, about this, whatever you would ask if you abide in me. I have found this quote helpful. It's really old, so maybe it's too old for you to know it. I asked for strength that I might achieve. God made me weak that I might listen. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, yet all that I hoped for, my prayer was answered. This is the depth of relationship with God that we find here in John 15. The superficial, just looking at the surface and making quick judgments, will always go astray, guaranteed. Because as I said, God's purposes are always deeper, slower, more painful, and ultimately more fruitful than we would want. The same thing is true about our relationships with other people. I mean, superficial spells disaster. John 15 summons us to relationships that are characterized by a Christ-like love. Verse 9, remain in my love. Verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. If we go on to verse 13, greater love has no one. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. And the picture of the vine is always a corporate picture. It's a picture of God's people together. Because elsewhere in the Bible, of course, we find the picture of the vine in the Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Ezekiel. And up to Jesus, it's almost always a picture of failure. It's almost always a depiction of how God's people go wrong. But Jesus picks up this image and transforms it. He says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true Israel. And my people will not be marked out by self-centered disobedience. No, they'll be marked out by the fruit of love. And whatever that fruit of love looks like, it cannot be superficial. It has to come from the depths of who we really are and making deep connections with other people. And Jesus grounds his love as not as a sentimental feeling, but as a life lived in loving obedience to his commands. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in him. There is no substitute for obedience when it comes to loving God and our neighbor. The commands of Jesus are the uncompromising mirror that we hold up to our lives. To love in any meaningful way is always a challenge. The old saying that Christians are not perfect, just forgiven, is true. Love by its very nature has to look deeper than the surface. It cannot be superficial if it's worth calling it love. Now we have to guard against the way that the superficial has become the norm in our society, in our culture, how we judge people. We've made it into an art form. Whether it's the rise of the selfie or social media influencers. I was reading an article the other day about cosmetic surgeons all around the world reporting unprecedented requests for cosmetic surgery from children as young as 9 or 10 to improve their image, the shape of their nose, for posting their selfies. And not just girls either. Interesting. Now, Christian love towards one another demands depth. Who we are is not determined by our surface appearances, what we look like, how clever we are, how well educated, how much money we have in the bank. God calls us to go deeper. Now, deeper with him, deeper with one another. So perhaps today is a good day for all of us to take stock. In what way are we relating to God or other people superficially? Can we accept that God's purposes are always slower and deeper and more painful and ultimately more fruitful than we would want? Perhaps today is the day to stop complaining at how God is dealing with us and accept he knows what he's doing as the vine dresser, as the gardener, even when it's not clear to us. And can we face up to our responsibility towards others in love? Perhaps to try again where we've been hurt or misunderstood or made to feel foolish. Well, as I sum up, I'm going to quote from a sermon that I heard more than 20-something years ago. I remember very few sermons, even the ones I preach, especially the ones I preach. But that's no problem because they do what they're meant to do in the moment. But I do remember a sermon from many, many years ago now, must be nearly 30 years. It made a deep impression on me. The preacher, Bert Osborne, had given his life to serve Africa. He spent most of his life serving in Rwanda and Burundi and some of Uganda during the years of the East Africa Revival. Rwanda and Burundi went through a terrible genocide between Hutu and Tutsi, mostly Christians killing each other. The government invited him back to try and understand what had happened. Places known probably as the most obviously Christian nations in Africa. So he faced the question, how could this terrible massacre happen even among apparently genuine Christians? His answer was the curse of the superficial. He used the image of the vine here in John 15. He coined the phrase that the Christians, himself included, of course, had looked on the leaves and the shoots and not the roots. They had not looked deep enough below the surface to be concerned about the heart of people, not just appearances. And it was the heart that bore that terrible fruit in those countries. In contrast to this, John 15 gives us a picture of life lived at depth with God and with our fellow Christians. The life that promises a purpose, meaning, significance, joy, a legacy worth leaving, and so much more. A life that counts for something in the great scheme of things. Yes, there is the real threat of that shadow side of this offer. Clearly, if we reject the way that is fruitful and useful and joyful, we could end up fruitless like those barren twigs that I referred to earlier. But the tone here is so much warmer. Jesus is talking to us as his friends. And as his friends, we can know the love and the joy that he gives and transforms our lives. This is the life that Jesus offers to us all. Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you that your loving purpose will always surprise us. That it will take us to the depth of love that we perhaps did not even know within you or ourselves. Father, we pray that we will be fruitful and that we will embrace and accept the pruning that you promise to make us even more fruitful. May we know this deep union with Jesus, that spiritual intimacy and the fruit and the joy that it brings inevitably. and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.